From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Belarusian Ambassador to Indonesia Raman Ramunuski calls 10th WWF a place to learn and coordinate. Russian embassy to Indonesia calls Russia wanted list a reply to Western treatment. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the Belarusian ambassador to Indonesia, Raman Ramunuski, said that the 10th World Water Forum this year is a forum to learn and coordinate on better water management. He told reporters during the commemoration of the Soviet Union's Victory Day in World War II at the Russian ambassador's house to Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday.
It's a very important for life itself, for sustainable development of any country. That's why we need to discuss this topic. To learn the best practices from other countries, and also to coordinate our efforts, how to manage better.
Ambassador Raman added that water resources in Belarus are sufficient, but that does not mean the country does not need to preserve it. He claimed that the Belarusian government is trying to ensure more efficient management of water resources. He also said that Belarus is willing to share experiences in managing swamps. Although Belarus will be present, he cannot yet confirm the representative who will attend the forum, which will take place in Bali on May 18 to 24. The Charge d'Affaires of the Russian Embassy in Jakarta, Veronika Novoseltseva, responded to the recent inclusions of officials from a number of countries on the Russian government wanted list, such as Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and Estonian Prime Minister Kaja Kallas. Veronika told reporters at the commemoration of the Soviet Union's victory in World War II Day at the Russian ambassador's house in Jakarta on Thursday. Veronika said that the inclusion of these names on the fugitive list was a response to sanctions imposed by Western countries against Russian figures. She analogized this to the Nuremberg trials, where officials of the German Nazi Party were tried for their actions during World War II. The second.
Banyak pemimpin dan tokoh Rusia adalah di bawah sanksi. Bagaimana kita bisa?
Many Russian leaders and figures are under sanction. How can we not respond? Should we always forgive, even if we are attacked, beaten, destroyed? No, Russia is now very strong, and we can give a reply and answer according to what they do. They apply sanction. Okay, we have become stronger, but we act clearly too.
Mereka menerapkan sanksi, okay lah. Kami menjadi lebih kuat, tapi kami berlaku secara cermin juga.
Previously on Saturday, the Russian Ministry of Internal Affairs included the presidents of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, on a list of suspected criminals wanted by the authorities. Zelensky became a fugitive based on criminal law articles, but did not specify the exact article. Meanwhile, Estonian Prime Minister Kaja Kallas and a number of Estonian officials were included in the list in February related to the destruction of Soviet-era war monuments in their country. The Russian embassy in Jakarta commemorated Victory Day to commemorate Germany's surrender to the Soviet Union in World War II in the presence of the ambassadors of Belarus and Kazakhstan to Indonesia. Hundreds of electric cars arrived at the Indonesian Tourism Development Corporation's ITDC parking center in the Nusa Dua area, Padang Regency, Bali, on Thursday. Reported by Antara, the electric car is a means of transportation for delegates and VVIP guests who will attend the 10th World Water Forum WWF conference held on May 18 to 25. General Manager at the Nusa Dua ITDC, Imade Agus Dwiatmika, explained that two special parking lots for electric vehicles are available on an area of 17,000 meters square and equipped with a public electric vehicle charging stations from PLN to charge electric vehicles. It will be used for parking delegates. As can be seen, today about 317 electric vehicles have entered where the parking center itself is equipped with public electric vehicle charging station or SPKLU. There is fast charging, there is a slow charging at each point, especially in central parking 1 and parking 2. Electric vehicles that have arrived at the parking area will then be checked for condition, including batteries, before being used by delegates. A total of 440 electric cars consisting of four brands were transported by ship and arrived at Benoa Port last Tuesday. The use of electric vehicles at the meeting is claimed to be a form of support from the Indonesian government for the optimization of green energy. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi called the school renovation project one example of Indonesia's commitment to support Papua New Guinea's development. Previously, Minister Retno, along with Papua New Guinea Foreign Minister Justin Kachenko, visited Wutung Primary School, elementary school in the border area of Indonesia and Papua New Guinea. Quoted by Antara, after visiting the Skau National Border Crossing in Jayapura City, Papua on Thursday, Minister Retno Marsudi said that in addition to education, her side also partnered in other important projects such as waste management and the construction of a firefighting center as is now being built in Vanimo. She also explained that currently there has also been construction of electricity network infrastructure in Wutung by a state-owned electricity company PT PLN, including 88 electricity poles and cables as a form of Indonesia's electricity export plan to Papua New Guinea. Minister Retno Marsudi added that Indonesia wants to show that the two countries share not only borders but also prosperity, especially for people on the border. The Prosperous Justice Party PKS faction of the House of Representatives DPR visited the World Health Organization headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland to call the World Health Organization to help save Palestinians. In an official statement received by Antara on Thursday, chairman of the PKS, Jajuli Juwaini, said that the visit was to carry out the mandate of 1945 Constitution in order to implement world order. According to Jajuli, in this case, WHO has a strategic role in the framework of global cooperation, especially health has become a global humanitarian issue. On the same occasion, chairman of the PKS Shura Council, Salim Segaf Al-Jufri, encouraged WHO to speak louder and act more to save human lives in the Gaza Strip. More than 15,000 children have been killed in Gaza since the conflict between Israel and the Palestinian group Hamas began on October 7, 2023. Minister of Religious Affairs Yakut Khalil Kumas and his staff on Thursday checked hotels and kitchen services in Medina ahead of the arrival of the first wave of pilgrims 1445 Hijri this year. Reported by Antara, Minister Yakut visited Emar Elite in the Shamaliyah area about 50 meters north of the Nabawi Mosque and Miss Mary Kitchen for served meals in the Hatim Medina area. He saw that the hotel for Indonesian pilgrims is representative, good and clean according to the agreed contract. While checking consumption, food served is food with the taste of the archipelago. Indonesian pilgrims will begin to arrive in Medina on Sunday. The pilgrims will stay for 9 days in Medina before leaving for Mecca. Hajj pilgrimage organizers, Saudi Arabia this year has contracted with 106 hotels as accommodation for pilgrims in Medina. Australia and Tuvalu on Thursday agreed to launch a landmark climate and security pact this year. As AFP reported in a joint statement, the two countries share the same intention for the agreement to enter into forces as soon as possible. The 11-page agreement is seen as a historic response to climate change when it is signed in November 2023. The agreement offers 11,000 Tuvalu residents the right to live in Australia if their country is lost to rising sea levels. The pact also obliges Australia to assist Tuvalu in the face of natural disasters, health pandemics and military aggressions only if Tuvalu requests assistance. This comes at a time of growing concerns among Western allies about China's expanding security ties with Pacific nations. In an explanatory memorandum, both sides agreed the clause reflected the depth of Australia's security guarantees and will be applied in a spirit of respect and friendly consultation. The Indonesian Navy Fleet Second Command has prepared two mine-hunting warships, KRI Pulau Fani 731 and KRI Pulau Fanildo 732, to participate in the joint MINEX Pandu 2024 joint exercise with the Singapore Navy. Joint MINEX Pandu 2024 is an exercise which is routinely held by the Indonesian Navy and the Singapore's Navy in the waters around the Riau Island, which are directly adjacent to Singapore. Quoted by Antara, the information service of the 2nd Fleet Command in an official release confirming Jakarta on Thursday explained that the exercise was an opportunity to measure the ability of KRI escorts, especially in mine hunting, to provide mutual support and a common goal of overcoming crisis. The two ships prepared by the Indonesian Navy for the exercise are German-made mine hunting vessels of the MCMV type. The two ships have devices that can detect objects in waters, clear mines on the sea surface, and detect threats in deep waters. The two ships began strengthening the Indonesian Navy since August 2023. Listener, now let's move it on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on Vladimir Putin officially leads Russia for the fifth time. Vladimir Putin's inauguration as president of Russia for the fifth time in his political career took place last Tuesday. Previously, in the 8th Russian presidential election from March the 15th until 17th, Vladimir Putin won an absolute victory from the first round with more than 87% of the votes in support. The inauguration of the elected president of Russia took place at the Kremlin Palace last Tuesday, May the 7th, in the presence of members of the Federal Council and judges of the Russian Constitutional Court. Vladimir Putin swore to respect and defend all human and citizen rights and freedoms, obey the Constitution of the Russian Federation, and defend the sovereignty and independence of his country. Domestically, Putin's victory can be said to be a reflection of the Russian people's trust and hopes for him, especially when Moscow was involved in a war with Ukraine. Putin's fifth term begins about 2 years after Russia's military deployment to Ukraine, which drew the world criticism. In this war, Russia is actually not only in conflict with Ukraine, but also with Western countries that support Ukraine. Putin accused Western countries of using Ukraine as a vehicle to try to defeat and divide Russia. On the other hand, the West accused Russia of attacking Ukraine to control its territory. Russia's confrontation with Western countries caused the United States and several of its allies to boycott Putin's oath-taking and inauguration and didn't send representatives to attend. In contrast to the United States, Russia's traditional ally, North Korea, has shown support for Putin's from the start. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, one day after the Russian presidential election, already congratulated Vladimir Putin on winning it. Vladimir Putin will lead Russia for the next 6 years until 2023. His victory will almost certainly not change the global geopolitical map, especially regarding the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Hopefully, the allies who support both parties can provide input that can encourage an end to confrontation instead of throwing oil into the fire. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Let's start today in history with May 10, 1940, when Winston Churchill succeeds Prime Minister Chamberlain. After British troops failed to prevent the German occupations of Norway in April 1940, Chamberlain lost the support of many members of his Conservative Party. Quoting History.com, on May 10, 1940, Hitler invaded the Low Countries, Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands in French. On the same day, Chamberlain officially lost the confidence of the House of the Commons. Then Winston Churchill became leader of the coalition's government. A day later, Winston Churchill also replaced Chamberlain as British Prime Minister. Let's move on to the next event. When flashing forward to May 10, 1994, Nelson Mandela is inaugurated as South Africa's first black president. Nelson Mandela was elected president and served as the president of South Africa from May 10, 1994 to June 14, 1999. He became the first black president with Willem de Klerk as vice president. Mandela is also considered a figure anti-black discrimination or apartheid. Even though he was imprisoned for 27 years by the apartheid government, in his first speech as president, Mandela actually called for peace. Mandela's government focused on efforts to eliminate apartheid by eradicating racism, poverty, inequality, and reconciliation. I'll end today in history with May 10, 2004, when World Lupus Day first declared. World Lupus Day was first declared on May 10, 2004, when an international council brought together international organizations that focus on lupus disease from 13 different countries in Eton, England. At that meeting, they declared the first World Lupus Day. This declaration is to remind governments around the world to increase their financial support for lupus disease research, raise awareness, and service for sufferers.
Luka.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Indonesian government asks all to watch subsidized fertilizer distribution. The Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture asks all to jointly watch the distribution of subsidized fuels to increase agriculture production. Currently, the fertilizer distribution has reached 9.5 million tons. That was stated by Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman during a briefing at Siliwangi 3 Military Command Quarters in Bandung, West Java on Tuesday. He hopes that the distribution will not face the monkey business of the distributor, retailer, or anyone that can bring disadvantage to farmers in producing food. Minister Amran also said that his side is monitoring the distribution both by going to the field and watching the media. According to Minister Amran, the government did not want any dirty practices of the distributors who abused the sales and caused loss. Minister Amran further remarked that the additional fertilizer allocation reaches 28 trillion rupiah, or increasing 100%. Related to this, the total available fertilizer is 9.55 million tons from earlier only 4.5 million tons. According to Minister Amran, all the additional fertilizer came from the struggle of the farmers and a policy of President Joko Widodo for the domestic food sector. Meanwhile, at the same occasion, Regent of Bandung Dadang Supriyatna thanked the Agriculture Minister for enhancing production in West Java, mainly for the additional fertilizer allocation. Dadang also said that fertilizer is a key factor in improving agriculture production in Bandung Regency. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Aku, bukannya ku tak peduli, bukan ku tak percaya. Jika kau benar inginkan aku jadi kekasihmu, baby please dengarkan aku. Jadikanlah diriku ratu, buat aku bahagia. Ku miliki cintamu hanyalah untukku. Jadikanlah diriku ratu di dalam istanamu. Cintaku 100% hanyalah untukmu selamanya. Cacara, 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 dengarkan aku. Jadikanlah diriku ratu, buat aku bahagia. Ku miliki cintamu hanyalah untukku. Jadikanlah diriku ratu di dalam istanamu. Cintaku 100% hanyalah untukmu selamanya.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Jatiluwih Tourism Village in Bali has been selected as a tourism destination to be visited by delegates of the 10th World Water Forum, the world's largest international water forum to be held on May 18th up to 25th, 2024. In 2012, Jatiluwih gained international recognition when its traditional rice field irrigation system, Subak, was recognized by UNESCO as one of the World Cultural Heritage. The Subak system, rooted in the teachings of three Hita Karana in Hinduism, reflects the balance and harmony between man, nature, and spirituality. Being established in the 11th century, Subak is not only an irrigation system, but also a philosophy of life that emphasizes harmony and sustainability. Listener, Jatiluwih Tourism Village is located in Penebel Subdistrict, Tabanan Regency, Bali. Jatiluwih is surrounded by 24 hectares of protected forest. The village is home to a variety of endemic species of flora and fauna, including many rare birds and animals such as the Javan slow loris. Jatiluwih Village offers more than just stunning views of terraced rice fields. It also has several activities to offer tourists, including trekking while enjoying the beauty of the rice terraces, cycling, cooking demonstrations, and visits to coffee, avocado, and durian plantations. Jatiluwih Village also organizes traditional festivals and ceremonies that allow tourists to experience the richness of local culture and traditions. In the 10th World Water Forum event, Jatiluwih Tourism Village will be decorated with many penjor. Penjor is a tall, curved bamboo rod decorated with specially shaped young coconut leaves. The coconut leaves are called janur. In addition, the delegates will also be welcomed with a traditional Balinese dance, the Renjang dance, accompanied by Tumbuk Lesung music. The World Water Forum delegates will also be served jaje lakak. Jaje lakak is similar to a pancake but made with brown rice. In addition to visiting Jatiluwih, the World Water Forum delegates will also be invited to perform Melukat procession, which is one of the traditions or ceremonies commonly performed by Hindus, especially in Bali. Melukat is meant to purify the soul from bad things by using water from a spring. The term Melukat itself comes from the word sulukat, where su means good and lukat means purification. So, in simple terms, Melukat can be interpreted as a good purification. The aim is to refresh the mind. Then, during the Melukat process, followers of the Melukat ceremony will be poured holy water, which is expected to make the heart feel calmer and refresh the soul. That's the Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
myself and told you we can be together, but I'm slowly realizing this love won't be forever. How can this love feel so weird? I was wrong.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Roman Pionis debut screening in Japan. Roman Pioni film was screened for the first time at Okinawa International Movie Festival, or OIMF, at the end of April 2024. The event was held in Naha City, Okinawa Island, Japan. The international festival was themed Love and Peace, showcasing the best film from many countries, especially Asia. Roman Pioni was the only special invite in OIMF 2024 from Indonesia, because it is showing a multicultural love story angel. It takes place in three cities in Japan's northernmost islands, Hokkaido, namely Sapporo, Sobetsu, and Wakanai. Roman Pioni director Alfred said he will create more films, especially the ones promoting an exchange between Indonesia and Japan. Meanwhile, Roman Pioni producer Vincent Mancahaya said he was proud of the screening of Roman Pioni at OIMF, for the film gets positive response at Naha Cultural Arts Center. The film was produced by Connection Film in collaboration with Yoshimoto Creative Indonesia and Neo Metro Film. The cast are from Japan and Indonesia, namely Jessica Farinda, is former member of JKT48, and Genki Sadamatsu, Hitomi, Diera Natania, and Daisuke Hamada. Roman Pioni is about two hardworking people who plan to visit Japan in hope for miracle and enlightenment. That was Miss Lenny.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia, only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, welcome back to our program. Music Corner from Voice of Indonesia. Today's editions, ulang. Today's edition of Music Corner comes to greet you with the title Sayang Selayak from South Sumatra. Listeners, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a original song from South Sumatra entitled Sayang Selayak. As a typical song of Lahat people, the lyrics of Sayang Selayak resemble rhymes due to the strong culture of rhyming in the land of Sriwijaya. The song Sayang Selayak teaches the sense of peace and love. This song also contains advice to nurture each other and share sincere love for others. With its rhythmic lyrics and deep meaning, Sayang Selayak is sung at various events by the Comoring tribe and South Sumatrans in general. Here is Sayang Selayak from South Sumatra, sung by Andian. Enjoy listening to the song.
Kami berayak ke dusun ini, kami berayak. saya burung lembibi, sayang selaya burung lembibi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Menua bersama menjadi bingkai warna. yang dikenang selamanya. Berselang waktu berjalan, kesendirian pun datang. Kau berpaling dariku tanpa pamit salammu. Perginya dirimu kan ku kenang. Seindah masa yang tak akan terlupa, teringat kita bila diriku menuntut waktu takdirku. Sekali lagi bersama hingga pada akhirnya ku kembali dan menutup mata. Seindah masa yang tak akan terlupa, teringat kita selagi masih bersama. Memetik bunga yang kau suka, tercium harum mewangi. Tak pernah ku sangka serindu itu diriku akan dirimu. Serasa tak
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.